sort of difficulties are you facing?
Right, that's a very broad question. Well, I would say, I mean, overall, I think we've got a very controlled plan to manage our way through this crisis. So the Royal Hospital is very much under control, and I think we're managing it very effectively. The issues we're faced with are in the areas you would expect. You would not be surprised to know that we've had some staff sickness and some staff self-isolating because members of their family maybe have shown symptoms. So ensuring the hospital is fully staffed has been a challenge, but one I think that we've actually risen to very effectively by doing things like getting therapists to cover for healthcare assistants who are off. We've undergone a fast-track recruitment campaign to bring in more staff. We've actually trained up some non-clinical staff to be able to carry out sort of support healthcare assistant type duties. And we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel on the staffing front because for a couple of weeks now, we've been able to test staff. You probably know from the national press that testing of staff in the NHS, we're not an NHS hospital, but testing of staff hadn't been happening. And that had meant that staff had probably been self-isolating in some cases when they didn't need to. So when we get negative test results back, of course, then staff can come straight back to work. So I think the staffing challenges are beginning to ease. The second area that's been a challenge is actually the provision of personal protective equipment. Again, this is well publicised nationally, and it would seem probably that the country was not as well prepared in terms of provision of protective equipment than it might have been. Of course, providing our staff with protective equipment is absolutely essential because we do have some cases of patients who tested positive for the virus. And of course, when the staff go to care for them, it's absolutely essential they're wearing the right protective equipment. Now, the situation changes almost from day to day. And again, our team that are running the hospital operationally have actually done a great job of making sure that equipment does arrive, but sometimes it's literally arriving just in time. I mean, currently, as I speak, the current challenge is actually getting sufficient number of gowns in for staff to wear when they're treating patients. But a few days ago, it would have been visors, and in a few days' time, it might be something else.
Is the situation getting better or worse with regards to personal protective equipment?
I think overall it's been improving overall, but of course every piece of equipment, if you like, that a member of staff will wear as part of their armoury, of course you need to have every part. So you know, a couple of weeks ago, face masks were very much at a premium. You couldn't get hold of them. That situation has improved dramatically. But of course, if you've got a face mask but you still haven't got your gown, then you know, that's a problem. So we're really having to be on top of that, really on a daily basis, in terms of chasing up the supply chains that provide equipment. And then, of course, the third challenge is successfully managing the situation with our patients. Now, we actually locked down our hospital some way ahead of the national lockdown, about 2 weeks or more beforehand, because we could see what was coming. And we look after a particularly vulnerable patient group. You know, all our patients are in the hospital because they've had, if you like, the after effects of a severe brain injury. And of course, that makes them extremely vulnerable, vulnerable to all sorts of infections and so on and so forth. So we knew at a very early stage that we were going to have to take some quite extreme actions to protect our patients. So at a very early stage, we stopped allowing visitors to come to the hospital, for example. That, of course, has now been sort of replicated in the NHS, but we went early in that sense. And we divided our hospital into zones. So if a member of staff was working in one zone, they couldn't move to another zone. And that has helped restrict the extent to which the virus has spread. But we have had some positive tests for the virus in the hospital. The way in which we manage that then is to very much sort of group patients who are infected in the same area, so that you have sort of COVID positive areas and in clean areas within the hospital. And in doing that, you know, we have, I think, been pretty successful at containing the spread of the virus, because I'm sure, again, you would have read in the national press, there are some horrifying examples really in care homes where the virus has spread through the whole home, and thankfully we've absolutely contained it so that that hasn't happened. I'd like to say something about the staff, if I may. I'd absolutely like to thank our frontline staff. You're in a way now in this situation, we have two types of staff: those who are on the front line and working in the hospital, and those who are able to or should be doing their jobs from home and are therefore working from home. But my heartfelt thanks go out to all our frontline staff who are going into care for our patients day and night, which includes not just clinically trained staff, but also non-clinical staff who volunteered to come forward and carry out various support duties.
So I see that you're using iPads for video messaging. I was wondering if you could tell me a bit about how that's working out.
Yeah, thanks for asking me about that. We came up with that initiative at a very early stage because we had to prevent visitors coming to the hospital to prevent the virus from being brought in. So we had to find an alternative way for relatives to communicate with their and connect with their loved ones in the hospital. So we launched what we've called, and it's still running, our Stay Connected campaign. And in fact, we've been asking for people, if they have a spare iPad or similar device, to donate it to the hospital, because using modern video technology, of course, we are able to set things up so that families can talk to their loved ones in the hospital through the video communication. And I think that's working really well. I mean, we're using video technology not just for families to connect with the patients, but our chaplain, who normally today, for example, would be running a Good Friday church service, which quite a large number of patients would have gone to, he's doing that by video, not live, pre-recorded, but again, he's able to sort of beam into the wards, as it were. I'm working from home, but I'm still able to visit the wards using video technology. But the actual Stay Connected campaign has been specifically for iPads for patients to be able to connect with their own relatives.
What do the patients think about it? How do they respond?
Well, it will vary from patient to patient, because we have a lot of patients in the hospital who, because of their brain injury, if you like, their ability to communicate has been impaired to a degree. But I think for those who are able to use them, I think it's been highly successful, actually. I think it's a great initiative, and we're very grateful to the people who have already donated iPads or similar devices to the campaign.
Do you have any personal stories of a time that you've seen a patient interact with somebody through the iPad?
Well, when I go online, I'm generally connecting with the staff rather than directly with the patients. And I think it's actually important to say that although those of us who are now working remotely, we want to connect with staff and patients, but one's got to be aware that, as I've already said, one of our challenges has been staffing numbers because of the numbers self-isolating or sick. So one's very conscious that when you're talking to people in the wards, it's taking them away from doing their work. So I'm very keen to connect with the wards, but not interfere too much, if you see what I mean, in terms of taking up the very valuable time of the nurses and care assistants carrying out valuable work.
So this pianoathon, would you be able to tell me a bit about that?
Sorry, this what?
Pianothon.
Pianothon?
Yes, 24-hour pianothon. It's on your social media.
Is that right? I haven't actually seen that, sorry.
Oh, well, fair enough, I suppose.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. It's 14th to 15th of April, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. to be live-streamed.
Right. Is that on our own Twitter feed?
I'm looking at it on your Facebook feed.
Oh, Facebook feed, okay, right. I'm sorry, I haven't been briefed about that one.
That's fine.
What I can say is that, I've already mentioned, if you like, the virtual church service being run, on a weekly basis on a Sunday and today on Good Friday by our chaplain. And I think there's all sorts of... People are coming up with all sorts of good ideas in terms of, well, we can't run the events we would normally run, so what else can we do that enables really the whole hospital community to interact and communicate and so on and so forth. And certainly a pianothon would be part of that.
Brilliant. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Well, I'd like to mention our emergency appeal, because we've got two appeals going on at the moment, and one I've already mentioned, which is the appeal for iPads. But we've also got an emergency appeal, which is on our website for general funding, because, you know, we are a charity. And although most of our patients come from the NHS and come with some core NHS funding, there are all sorts of things we carry out which are funded by voluntary income. And it won't surprise you to know that under the current circumstances, the finances are under stress, because many of the things that we're having to do to deal with coronavirus, of course, cost more money, not the least of which dealing with things like sickness of staff and additional equipment and so on and so forth. So we've launched an emergency appeal, which is on our website, which is www.rhn.org.uk. And if any of your listeners go onto that and feel moved to support us with generosity, however small or large, it would be absolutely gratefully received, because at the end of the day, this is all about providing quality care service to our patients. And in these particular difficult circumstances, of course, doing all we can to protect them from this dreadful virus that's spreading around.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for speaking to me.
Okay. So is this likely to be used, clips at various times rather than a specific piece then? Or?
I'd have to speak to the editor about when exactly it would be going out. I personally want to aim for Tuesday morning.
Okay.
Which will be sort of the next block, if you will.
Yeah. Okay, well, so you can let our PR people know. I mean, obviously, it'd be good to listen to it when you use it.
just return to the iPads thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to stress on this point, but if you have any sort of... if you have any story of the patient using it and them being happy about it, or...
Pardon? I can think of a good example, and I have to be slightly careful how I phrase this, because you'll understand when I talk about it, it's very sensitive. But because visitors cannot come to the hospital, that presents a particular challenge if the patient is, shall we say, in the last days of their life. And as you will know from the way the NHS handles it, if the patient has the virus, then it's really impossible to allow their loved ones to come and see them, because there's a huge risk that their loved ones will then catch the virus. And there's one particular example of just in the last few days where we set up a relative who wouldn't have been used to using this sort of technology at all with an iPad to be able to connect with her loved one in the hospital. And actually... a couple of our staff absolutely went the extra mile to drive out to her home with the iPad and set it up for her in a way that she wouldn't have been used to doing, because she wouldn't be used to using the technology. And then, of course, she was able to video in or beam in to her loved one in the hospital. So I think, examples like that, it's not just using the iPads for general contact. It's actually using the iPads in very specific and actually challenging and quite distressing circumstances. And you know, thank goodness we have that technology to be able to use in those situations.
Well, that's very, very brilliant of you. Without wanting to sound too callous or journalistic about it, it would be, listeners find that sort of thing moving and are likely to donate. I hope that doesn't sound too sort of mechanical about it.
No, I absolutely understand that the human interest stories are much more interesting than general platitudes, if you see what I mean. So, And I don't think I've... I mean, clearly one has to be, if you like, very, very sensitive about specific cases, because we're talking about real people going through real distress here. But so obviously I can't give any more detail, but I think what I've just said... gets across how extreme the need is for this sort of technology for people not just to do general day-to-day connection, but actually contact loved ones when they might be in the last few days of their life.
Absolutely. Brilliant work. Well, thank you very much for speaking to me.
Lovely. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.